Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Live from Phoenix. Our Sal Capaccio there for the NFL owners meetings. It's got to be pretty fun, right? No matter what obligations you would have, and Sal tends to like his professional obligations anyway, you would have at the NFL owners meetings in Phoenix. Heck, that's a great trip. Right. Good for you, Sal.
Thanks. Yeah, that's. I'm sitting out here right now. I'm on a patio outside the front of the Arizona Biltmore Waldorf Astoria, where the meetings are, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and my temperature on my phone reads 82 degrees. It's beautiful.
It's kind of hot, though, isn't it?
It's dry, though. Dry hot.
I'm just kidding. I would gladly take it. So so what we've got news here in the last half an hour or so about the schedule, and of course rule changes, and the Bills made some news today. So where should we start? Let's start at the most recent thing, which is the schedule. As we went to the break, we were talking about the Bears and Packers. They're playing again. Well, they played opening weekend in the Sunday night spot last year. This year, they'll be the Thursday night game to kick off the 100th season of NFL football, and that leaves the Patriots on Sunday night. What's your best guess, Sal, if you had to bet on who they host in that Sunday night opener?
I still think it'll be the Chiefs, but I think the Browns are quickly closing as a team that could very well be put in that spot. I think the Browns are hot, right? I mean, everybody's talking about them. They're going to have a buzz. They're going to remain hot throughout the offseason. They're going to be a team that everybody's interested in at training camp throughout preseason. So I think that would be really good for the league to put the Browns there. But I still think the Chiefs, it just seems like it fits. You know, have Patrick Mahomes there. That's been a good rivalry. The Chiefs have played the Patriots well, including beating them in this situation recently. So I think it's the Chiefs, but I would not be surprised if it's the Browns.
I like it. I feel the same way. Rob Gronkowski, of course, retiring, and Robert Kraft is there. There was a report yesterday that he was at the owners' meeting. So the Patriots, maybe not uncommon. I mean, they're always like a team that there's a lot of news about and interest in, but especially right now.
Yeah, and I saw last night Ben Volin is staying at my hotel, so I happened to run into him last night, and I said, hey, is Kraft here this week? He goes, yep. I said, is he going to speak to you guys? He goes, no way is that going to happen. He said, there's no one out of chance. So they're not going to hear from Robert Kraft this week, guys, as far as anything, you know, on the record with a media scrum like we're going to do with Brandon Bean and most, you know, and the Pegulas and most owners and GMs do. So, you know, it's not a surprise in that regard. As far as the Patriots, they are a big storyline right now, obviously, with what's going on with Robert Gronkowski retiring, with Robert Kraft and all that, but they're also the Super Bowl champions. Now, with the schedule thing, I'll say, they're going to do this for 1 year, but I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes permanent, which is Super Bowl champion gets Sunday night football instead of Thursday night. I just think it's become such the marquee premier night that maybe that's when you want to showcase your champion, raise the banner and all of that. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a test, you know, and trial run and to see how the ratings go with this year.
How about the timing of the Gronk retirement, Sal? Like, does he not hurt the Patriots by waiting 2 weeks into free agency to announce that he's done?
Yeah, I think you're right, Bulldog. And just had the conversation earlier today with somebody about the exact same thing, which is, you know, they restructured Stephon Gilmore's contract. They were not able to sign Adam Humphries or Cole Beasley. They wanted them both. If Rob Gronkowski retires a month ago, they probably are able to sign one of those players, and they're going to have a little more flexibility. As it is now, they'll have more freed up now. They don't have a lot of flexibility, and even if they do now, a lot of the guys are gone. I mean, I don't think Jared Cook's still out there, right? Jared Cook now?
New Orleans.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. That's right. Now that jogs my memory. But so what do you do now at tight end, right? They do have a hole there. and they do have some money, but who's really left in free agency? I agree with you that this is a tough spot that he put the Patriots in, but you know, you can't worry about that. I think he's such a great player for you. He's been such a big part of your organization. You let him kind of make his decision when he needs to make his decision, but sure, he could have helped his organization by at least giving them a clue maybe or doing something. And by the way, there is a thought that maybe they asked him to take a pay cut, and he basically said no and then retired, and you know, we'll see what happens going forward.
Is it interesting at all that we're not even 24 hours through the news cycle with Gronk's retirement and Drew Rosenhaus was already speculating about Tom Brady calling him in November and like Gronk coming back?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's probably going to be talked about a lot. It's going to be on people's minds, especially if they struggle, especially if they don't have that answer at tight end, especially if, you know, the passing game seems to really be, or even the running game is such a good run blocker. But here's the thing, guys. Rob Gronkowski would have to really, you know, with his body the way it is now, he'd have to really stay in shape to do that. This isn't a guy that's just going to show up in November and become a major force. I mean, his body is broken down. And, you know, grinding for the NFL season takes a lot, but especially him at his age, it's only, I know he's only 29, but how much wear and tear, the injuries he's had, I think he'd have to make that decision a lot sooner than that if he really wanted to go and make an impact.
Well, he's an all-time great. He's a legend. He's going right into the Hall of Fame. Probably the best player ever at his position. 538 had a piece today about how he rates as the best, most efficient receiver, either tight end or wide receiver, of the last 25 or so years. The percentage of passes he catches, the quality of them, the touchdown rates, like all of it. And I'm comfortable with all that. Like he's been an interesting figure in his career. And with local ties, and we have the Trey White hit, like I think did some damage to his reputation, at least with Bills fans. But I have no trouble calling him the best tight end ever. Do you guys?
I don't. I think he would have been great in any era. I just think he's better in this era. But he would have still been, you put him up with the same era as Kellen Winslow, and he's doing, maybe not, he's not putting up these numbers, but he certainly regarded him, Ozzie Newsome, Kellen Winslow, name the tight ends, you're still talking about Rob Gronkowski in the same breath.
And what happened this year is like his pass-catching prowess was diminished, and his blocking was a story. Like in the playoffs, eventually, I mean, he had a big catch in the Super Bowl, and he had some plays against the Chiefs. But his blocking became, wait, you see this. And that's not a part of the other tight ends.
Right, that's right.
Their legacies, or they're not remembered for that.
I mean, it's not the sexiest part of the position, but it is a part of the position. And I think, a lot of the, Gates, Tony Gonzalez, like who else? Those guys are not, they had other guys on their teams that did the blocking. And they were dangerous down the seam and as passing weapons. Gronk was that and also the blocker. I have no trouble saying that either. I hate that he has that Trey White play on his resume. It just, you know, mars his career would be a ridiculous overstatement. But for me as a Bills fan and even just a sports fan, that he did that was just, it's hard to forgive.
I agree with you because the other thing, too, is on the heels of what you just said, Mike, I think people don't realize how great of a team player he was. You know, I mean, for guys to even be asked to do that, as good as he is, as great as he is as a pass catcher, to where his body was, to do what he did last year as a blocker and really what he's done throughout his career, which he's never gotten enough credit for. And I think finally people realize a little bit more this year because of his, you know, pass catching roles being diminished a little bit. I agree with all of that. And Bulldog, I mean, it's great to sit here and go, wow, you have to really respect him. And then he say, yeah, but you know what? Then he did that thing against Trey White, and that just really sours me.
So what are we going to have this week in the way of rules, changes, or debates? It's not changes this week, right? It's maybe proposals?
No, they'll change. They're voting on the proposals
this
week. So,
good. So what's
you'll
coming?
Get answers. Well, you know, the funny thing is, I remember last year, if I remember correctly, down in Orlando, we knew by the time I'm talking to you right now what was passed and what wasn't. We haven't heard anything yet today. So I'm wondering if there's things that are still out there, if there's things they're still debating, going through the competition committee. From what I gather, guys, from what I can tell you from people I've talked to here, I don't think we're going to get much changes in the replay and or overtime systems. There just seems to be not enough support. You need 24 of 32 votes to pass something. You need, you know, to yes votes. And it just seems like the replay, they're there isn't a lot of support to expand it, especially to penalties or non-calls. The one replay area I think we might see, though, that passes is player safety issues like targeting, something like that, to make sure they get that right, whether it was called or not called, that they can look at something, kind of like they do in college. I don't think we're going to see anything as far as pass interference. Maybe a roughing the passer or something like that, but it is also attached to a pass interference bill, like how they do in Congress floor. They attach these things. So I don't think that's going to happen. The thing I think it is going to change. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. There's a rider.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. The thing I think you are going to see changed, or at least there seems to be a swell of support, which I didn't think there would be, is the 4th-and-15 proposal after an onside kick from the Denver Broncos, which is one time in a game and only in the fourth quarter. A team can choose, in lieu of an onside kick, to take the ball at their own 35 and go for a 4th-and-15 after they score. One time in the fourth quarter. You can still onside kick anytime you want, but that is a one-time option.
Okay. The success rate on onside kicks dipped below 10% last year with the changes that were made to formations on kickoffs. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, it is. And it's just, but it's been happening for the last several years, I think, for some reason. Maybe there's been some other rules and changes. But, yeah, that's the big one. I think last year was the formation. The year before that, I think, was how many guys can be on each side, though. And then last year they went to where they can space. So they kind of expanded that rule a little bit.
Yeah.
But, guys, I just never think the onside kick's going to be recovered by the kicking team anymore. If a team lines up for it, I'm like, yeah, they're not going to get this. So I think this is a cool rule. I just don't know why they only want to do it one time. And only in the fourth quarter, my guess is, because too many people think it's a little too radical and they don't want to go that far, well, heck with it. Just do it.
The safety point about reviews is, this is just my opinion, is predictable and mostly lame. I mean, the game, is the game really getting safer because of these initiatives? Like, you want to have the appearance, the NFL would want to have the appearance that it is, but so much dumb stuff comes from it. Remember the penalty Nickell Robey-Coleman got in the Super Bowl? Like, early in the game?
Yep.
Come on. And
horrible.
If this always happens with the NFL or with sports, like, you sort of just put that over here on if you want, and they would, in the category of, well, we're just trying to make the game safer. I mean, just like these ridiculous not roughing penalties that can be just sloughed off or explained away in this, you know, flawed way. And so maybe we're in line for more of that. I don't know. I just think the whole thing is kind of an eye roll. I mean, defensively, I'll point out, of course you want player safety to be, you know, considered and factored in. But sometimes, like, penalties.
Well, Mike, that's also why they have this, you know, I don't think you're going to see the overtime changes. Because they want the game to end because of, quote-unquote, player safety.
They don't want the game to go on any further. There's no commercials in overtime.
That's right. Exactly. You've already fulfilled your obligation from your network partners. That's right. So that's, by the way, that is the Chiefs' proposal. You know, they didn't get the ball. Mahomes was on the bench. So what do they propose? Both teams have to have a possession in overtime, regardless of if there's a touchdown. But speaking of riders, there's three prongs to that same proposal. That's the first one. The second one is eliminate all overtimes in preseason. And then the third one is whoever wins the coin toss to start the game also gets their choice to start overtime so that we don't have to go through the whole process of bringing them on the field with the coin toss. But again, I don't think you can just vote on one or the other. This is one proposal with all three, and I don't see it passing.
Exactly. The coin toss thing is kind of funny. I mean, what do teams almost always choose after winning the coin toss? We don't care. Later. We'll take the ball later. Like, they almost always defer. Right. So what's the point of any of that? Just let the home team get the ball to start the second half or something and save time that way. There was a fun Reddit idea. I don't know if you guys were tweeted this.
I saw it, yes.
How, like, somebody just creatively wrote, here's what you do for overtime. You have each team bid on how far back on their own in the field they would take the ball to start their drive. And whoever's bid, like a blind bid, whoever's bid is farther back toward their own goal line gets to go first. You know, have a team like the Chiefs who might go, you know what?
I'll take it at my
7. Take the 1 yard line. Right. We'll see what happens. Would you rather have the ball at your 1 yard line to start overtime or have New England get it? I mean, let's go. We'll take our chances from the 1 yard line.
Patrick Mahomes, I think I'd rather take the ball at the one.
Right. So there's so many ways that are kind of fun ways where you could actually do that, and we will immediately rule all of them out.
Well, I for one, maybe I have a lot of company in this. I'm not sure I do. I hate replay so much. I'm relieved that they're not adding layer upon layer to replay, Sal. When that play happened in the NFC title game and wasn't called, I thought undoubtedly, I knew we were going to be talking about it. I thought we were going to be inundated with more review. And I think that probably would have been easy to defend for the league because of what happened in such a prominent spot with a place in the Super Bowl at stake. And I think maybe it would have appealed to the majority of fans. But I'm relieved that we're not heading down that rabbit hole.
It doesn't look like it. There's anything could happen. You could get in that room and someone could really have a strong voice and convince, 24 owners to vote yes. But it doesn't appear that's the case. You know, the other one was, I think the Redskins had a lot of review stuff. But one of the things they're trying to do is put more of the emphasis on the officials and not the coaches. Don't make the coaches have to make the call. And that's where a lot of this is coming from, which is we don't want the coaches to have to be burdened with making the challenges, especially if they win and they only get a few challenges. We want the officials to do it. And then you had the one that's weird, which is an automatic review on fourth downs that are close to the first down. And I'm like, well, how do you determine if it's close? Who says that? Is 1 yard close? Is 1 inch close? Like, what's close? So there's a lot of stuff in there, I think, that is just too convoluted, and I don't think we're gonna have any of that, but we'll see.
Yep, right. You have to review whether it's close enough to be automatically reviewed. But we'll have that.
Wow. If you didn't get your fill of reviews with the basketball this weekend, I mean, I just don't know. Like, there was just so much nonsense.
Yeah, just these delays. Ugh. Sal Capaccio in Phoenix for the owners' meeting. We've got a few more minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. EJ Gaines, Sal. Guy had a very good year for the Bills 2 years ago, went to the Browns. Another guy now who comes back with a concussion story. That's what happened to him, undermined his season last year. That's happened, Morse and Gaines and I don't know if anybody else. But I guess that's maybe how it goes when you're the Bills going shopping here. And I do like the player and the way he talked about it earlier on One Bills Live. He sounded like he really wanted to be back.
Yeah, and he's a really good player. I mean, he is. He just couldn't stay on the field. His time in Buffalo, really most of his career, guys, you go back and you look at, most of his career, he had a foot injury. I think it was like his second year that cost him, with the Rams. He had last year and the concussion problem with the Browns. But when he's been on the field, I think even Kyle might have said it in the update what their record was, but I remember thinking anytime he started and finished a game, they had an excellent record. The problem was he either didn't play or he played and then he went out of the game. But the other thing about him, that he is an excellent, excellent zone guy. Like, he understands zone coverage. I remember when he was traded for in the Sammy Watkins deal, and we first talked with Sean McDermott. That was one of the things he said. He said, we did our homework and, he understands angles and leverage and what his job is in zone defense, and he really is good at that. And the Bills are a very heavy zone team. Now, in this situation, he doesn't have to come in and basically, and I think in that situation then, he was kind of counted on to come in and maybe be the number two corner. Maybe he is here too, but there is competition. Levi Wallace, Kevin Johnson, they just signed. You do have Taron Johnson in the slot. EJ can play the slot. So this will ease the burden on him, maybe having the pressure to come in right away and have to be that guy. There is some competition there. He has a different kind of role. I like the player a lot, but, boy, he's got to stay healthy. And that's kind of been the guys they signed here as far as corners, him and Kevin Johnson. I mean, between the two of them, maybe he gets 16 games. That'd be great, right?
That's right. There's another one.
There was concussion problems for him, too, yeah. I'll give the Bills some credit here, Sal. Like, I think they may have fallen into Levi Wallace, a very highly graded player once he assumed a starting role. And, you make the point a lot that you got 90 spots, you want to create competition. I think they're doing that, and they're trying to at least, I mean, none of these guys maybe is a sure thing. Levi Wallace is a street free agent. Gaines has had health problems. Johnson has had health problems. So you're trying to maybe just throw numbers at it, and hopefully you have someone who's healthy enough to help you and play at a pretty high level. But I'm respecting that they did that, despite Wallace being as favorably graded as he was.
And you guys know I've said this to you since the season ended. I just don't think Levi Wallace is strong enough or physical enough for what they need. And yes, he's a nice player. I like having him on the roster, and maybe he'll get to that point. But he needs to get stronger. He needs to get more physical. He's not very good against the run. And Sean McDermott has made it a priority to try and find corners who are those kind of guys. That's what Kevin Johnson is. That's what Taron Johnson is. Those guys are really physical, and that's why they get hurt, by the way, as well. Yeah. And Levi Wallace, to me, was never really a serious, you know, 16-game answer going into 2019. Now, he can be. He's young, but he's lengthy. He's lanky. He's not that big. He's not that strong. Remember when he got fought out for the ball against Jacksonville in that play before the brawl? That was Dante Moncrief. And then the same thing happened to him with Galladay. I mean, he has the ball. It gets ripped from him. Like, you can't let that happen. That's an example of his, you know, lack of strength he needs to work on. But now I think what happens is I look, what does this mean for the draft? Some people have said the Bills were maybe even targeting a corner early. The only one out there would have been maybe Greedy Williams, who's a fantastic player, but he is not at all physical. Like, he's basically this version. He's not Deion Sanders, but he's kind of like that. He wants no interest in playing the run or being physical, and I never thought that was an option at 9. And I think what they've done here is they've kind of eliminated that and given themselves more flexibility so they don't make that an option.
So what's the weak hold here? I mean, we know we covered like what's going to be talked about in competition committees and rules suggestions and whatnot, but Bean is talking tonight around the time our show gets done, right? And McDermott will have, what, coach's breakfast tomorrow? And did I hear something about both Terry and Kim Pegula perhaps talking with the media?
That is the plan as of right now, as far as I understand, and probably even separately, Terry and Kim to speak tomorrow, which would be in the evening your time, right around probably around the time that you guys get off the air again. Now, these things are fluid. They do change. We do have meetings here. This is what they're here for. So we're hoping that is the case. We generally do get Terry Pegula here to speak at the owners' meetings, but in Kim's new position as president, all the changeover at PSC, where she's in charge of a lot of things, the plan is right now, from what I've been told, that we're going to hear from both of them, and that would be tomorrow. And yeah, right after you guys get off, we should hear, actually a little before that, I think, from Brandon Bean. And then tomorrow, coaches' breakfast, which is interesting. They used to divide it, AFC and NFC. Now it's all 32 coaches who have their own table, and then like each local media basically goes to that table and sits around them while they're eating and asking questions, which is kind of weird.
Well, we do have Sabres. Yes, we do have Sabres pregame tonight and tomorrow, but as the Pegula is also on the Sabres, we can make that work. As you know, as listeners, we have a very strict format.
Oh, yeah.
And would otherwise not be able to do that.
Well, sure. We get here and they have it all laid out, what we're going to talk about, when we're going to talk about it. I mean, people think that this broiler conversation from Friday was just extemporaneous. It was on the schedule.
Yes, it was to get fans' minds off of sports.
Yes.
That's what people don't realize about the show. When we're not talking about sports, it's a concerted effort to get your minds off of sports. We hope you appreciate that now that you know. Sal, thank you. Back to the pool.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearance here sponsored by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Still really no grasp on the broiler, but I did notice that my oven has a button that says broil.
Yeah.
So I should have, in 2 days, I had time probably to just look in there.
Yeah. Well,
I think my wife said you move the rack to the top, and then you just cook off the top from the top of the oven.
Yeah. You leave the door ajar, too. You don't have to.
Is that right? You leave the door open?
Yeah, that's why the door, that's why your oven door has that. That possibility, it doesn't close all the way. You have to push it past that little.
That's for broiling?
Yeah, it's for broiling.
I just to heat my house, I thought.
Right.
But,
you could.
I do leave the oven door open after taking whatever out of the oven to get the heat for the house. Do you do that?
No, not usually.
However much heat that is for however many seconds, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll take the heat.
It is something.
Yeah. I will take the heat. Damn it. I will take that heat. Exciting news about sports and Lionel Richie coming up in the update. Rob Ray at 5 today. The Sabres have a game in New Jersey, pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I wanted to be here again, it's just kind of how the business works. My agent kind of handled that side of the business and everything. But after I left, I had a one-year deal. I told my agent as soon as after the season was over that I would love to play for Buffalo again. That's really the only visit I would like to take. I told him that, and he made it happen for me. And he said, if they're interested, we'll get you out there.
And they must have been interested. EJ Gaines on One Bills Live earlier today. He has been re-signed. 803-0550 is our number if you have something on your mind. Bills, Sabres, even UB's results. I shouldn't say even. We talked about them all week, and we both were very excited about them. Unfortunately for both, it ended yesterday. If you have this thought, like, I'm not sure this is right, you know what I got to do? Run it by those guys. Then, if it is right, it will be safe to take out into the wild. If you're going out, you've got friends, you might want to, we'll tell you whether your point is a good one to make.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
I'm only a little bit kidding. I mean, I really think you do hear some things out there. You can't believe right. People didn't test first.
Yeah. Sometimes people do call us and we suggest to them, you should have tried that out on your friends first.
It does happen.
You should have maybe just send up a trial balloon and see how that goes over before you like walk into the talk show and bring up whatever your idea is. I don't have an example right now, but nonetheless.
Exactly. Right. So there you go.
Turning Tyler Myers into a winger, for example, might be a thing that would have happened on this show at some point.
Instead, they turned him into Zach Bogosian.
Right.
Which, you know, either option leaves something to be desired, I would say.
Well, Myers at least gets points, but yeah.
We never made a Winnipeg bet. I'm still ready. I'm still up for it.
What is this now?
We talked about it. Second round at best.
Second round.
At best. So they definitely do not make the conference finals. That would be my bet. My bet is they do not make the semis.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I can get there. It's too tight. I like them, but I'm not ready to do that. I don't think.
Okay.
It wouldn't be a huge upset to me if they don't make the conference final.
Yeah, okay. Do you have a Western team you would most like to see make the final?
Yes, Winnipeg.
That might actually be right.
They or Calgary, I guess I'd say. I've always liked Calgary. You know, these are teams that you have to work to watch. You know, they're not showing up on the Wednesday night package. They still call that rivalry night. I don't know if they're doing that still.
MSNBC? I always say it wrong the first time. NBCSN?
I'm not sure if they're still calling that. Sunday is Stars night or something. So maybe they've been on there, but they're just not teams that are in your, you know, on your radar, really. They're not nationally, you know, featured in the telecast if you don't have the center ice package. But Gaudreau, Monahan, they got some really nice players there. Giordano's having a great year. You know, I'm not crazy about Mike Smith. See the dive he took the other night?
That was epic.
But they are Winnipeg. Give me Western Canada. I'm down for some of that.
Yeah, Calgary is really fun. Yeah. They're going to wear their bright fire engine red jerseys with the yellow trim in the playoffs, throughout the playoffs, like the retros. And yeah, okay.
And Winnipeg was, I think Winnipeg is the OG for the whiteout. Before that franchise moved to Arizona, I think the first place I ever saw everybody wearing white in a hockey arena was Winnipeg.
I think the same.
So that's a scene. I mean, that's been co-opted by, you know, everybody's rocking their colors. But I love the scene in Winnipeg. It's just fever pitch. And, you know, the style of play. I mean, they just play a fun – they're fun to watch. Usually they're fun to watch. So I'm pulling for them.
Mm-hmm. Am I being a jerk if I say I want to see Arizona make the finals? Probably not very realistic.
But. Are you saying? Would you be saying that to sort of like see the league have to deal with it? Like,
yeah,
to make fun, made fun of
that for sure. And then also in part two, because like you know they were down in the dumps with us forever, and you want to see those teams. I think maybe not all of them, but I'd like to see them. I'd like to see that work with the young GM and the analytics.
Yep.
And all of that. I'd like to see that work.
They've been losing a little bit, and they are now down into the 20s percent. Yeah. Chance of the playoffs.
Yeah,
they were in good shape.
Two points out.
It's still only 23%. Well, okay. It's only two, but not great.
There's a lot of teams there, though. Minnesota's tied with them. Right. Chicago's there.
They'd be ahead of Chicago. As it gets late, those percentages are going to really swing.
Yeah.
I mean, just because there's so few games left. All right, Arizona.
They're 3 points out of Chicago. They're tied with the Wild at 79. Colorado and Dallas are in the wild card spots as of now with 82 and 81 respectively. So it's pretty bunched up there. I don't know. I don't think I want to consider Edmonton and Vancouver at 74 still there. Chicago's barely clinging.
No,
3 points back. With only 2 weeks to go.
Right. Colorado 63%. Arizona 23%, Minnesota 19%, Chicago 5%, Edmonton 0.5%. Everybody else out.
So Dallas has
much Dallas has 83%
more than Colorado, right? Okay.
Yep.
Right.
And Montreal and Columbus is about a coin flip now. Carolina almost definitely in. Got to do that pool again. I'm going to do the pool again.
Which pool is that?
The playoff pool.
Playoff pool.
Joe, have you been in that?
I don't think so. Just players or teams?
16 or 18 players. 18 players.
I think it's 18.
Oh, I was in this. Yes, I was in this.
No more than six per team?
Yeah, I remember because I was in first place for like the whole first and second round, and then all my players got eliminated, and I fell to like dead last.
Yeah, that can
Big
happen.
Swing.
Wow.
But what you want to do is give yourself a chance to win. Doesn't matter if you finish just out of the money or last place.
Right.
Well, new strategy. Now I'm going to pick players on good teams rather than good players on worse teams.
Interesting. Good luck.
Yeah.
Just something to keep you going.
Leading at the beginning really doesn't pay.
No.
I mean, it doesn't eliminate. Obviously, you still have a chance, but I was in the lead Thursday after Thursday in the pick nine, and I didn't get any more points. I think I had I picked up something Friday, but barely anything, and I ended up getting blown out in that thing. I did not make it. I had one team alive.
Yeah, that thing is over.
Yeah, you're.
It did not make it to the pick nine. Did not get past the first week.
That hurts how much I like it.
Yeah, I know it does.
Right. I mean,
I know.
I loved it Thursday and into Friday. In here, looking at it was really fun. By Saturday morning, when I got up, I went, ugh.
Well, here's an idea.
I'm done.
I agree with that. Maybe it's flawed, or maybe it's fine, and we're just only three people. Like you want a big field for that.
Right. Yeah.
We could do another one. Fewer teams from here in. Or just a different format, just to bet on. Like the teams like Duke and North Carolina were of no use to any of us in that format.
Right. So now, another pick nine?
Another pick something, another game.
Pick five, pick six. Pick six sounds nice.
Pick three. Got to figure out Oregon, though. If we're going to do it by seeding points, Oregon at 12. They're going to play Virginia next, I believe. Is that right? I think Oregon plays Virginia, and would we all just take them? I don't know. We can figure something out if you want to play again. I, of course, do. And as the winner, I feel it's my, not only do I want, it's my responsibility to make my, I don't want to, what Rob said to me really stung.
He thinks you didn't give him a chance to win back his money.
I think he is just saying that because, you know, to be funny, it's not true. And I can't have anybody thinking that that's true. I'm always up for a bet.
Yes.
It's got to be a little bit creative and interesting, or else what's the point? But there's no way I was, like, running from Rob because I want to bet against him.
I think
him.
It just never came up again.
I never see him.
Right.
Except that bet was on the hockey season. Guess what happens when the hockey season ends? I don't see Rob Ray for 6 months.
Right.
We have never socialized. So I'm pretty sure that was what happened there. We just did not run. We don't talk. And by the way, Bulldog said the other day that texting counts as talking. We don't even talk if texting counts.
Right, because I'm usually the one who gets in touch with Rob to make sure we've got everything ironed out for his appearances.
Right, Rob is in your camp.
Right.
When it comes to, unless you're on vacation or you're off, then I'll do it. But I like him. I had a conversation once recently with someone who said, I can remember when Rob Ray was really handsome. That was said. I heard that said recently. Yeah. So... I just kind of how I reacted.
I hope I remember to bring this up when he's on with us.
Rob is going to be on with us at 5 today, and we'll have pregame at 6. Once again, we're here for your thoughts and queries. Hey, I wonder if this is a good idea. We might be able to help you, you know, or you can just dismiss what we say. People have done that. 803-0550 is the number. Sabres and Devils tonight, pregame at 6 o'clock here on WGR.
Wow, I asked and like just like that, there it is. Studio.
He's good.
We've got Phil Collins tickets right now up for grabs. Caller 5-644-9878. Phil Collins is coming to KeyBank Center. Show's going to be Friday, October 4th. Minimum value of this prize is $110, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Verified fan sale starts Friday, 10 a.m. That's this Friday. Remaining tickets will be on sale Saturday at 10 a.m. All at tickets.com. We got a pair right now. 644-9878, caller 5.
You say a song, he's got it for you in 5 seconds. You needed something about the website, he had it for you in 5 seconds. Right. Joe is like a detective type. There, and he just jumped on the phone. But who? What is this story? The time when, was it the Tampa Bay GM made a quote and we tried to figure out who he was talking about and went through all the teams, and then there was another thing that disqualified some of the teams?
Yes, I loved that day.
What was that? What team was he talking about that would do this? Like, could it have been the Bills? Like, some people like that kind of a puzzle, and some people
it was
don't,
some sort of draft rumor that was involving a position in a team's front office. And when I just kind of happened upon it that only some teams had that position.
Yeah,
it was like
scout
position.
Yeah.
But only certain teams had it labeled as that position.
Matt Miller?
Yeah, Matt Miller.
Matt Miller had a comment, and we tried to figure out which team had the assistant director of player personnel.
Right, and there were only certain teams that had that position, so I went through and found which teams that would be interested in a quarterback or something like that had that position, and there really were none except maybe Tampa Bay, which was even a stretch. So I thought it was Tampa Bay. Still think it was. There was something else that led me to that.
This is one reason that I like you so much, because I love to do that. If a reporter tweets something and they've got a source and it's worded like in some sort of a way that gets your attention, I want to try to figure out who the source is by that. We've had this kind of conversation on the air through the years many times. Who are they talking to for this to be the way that was put? And I think there are times when, although I can't give you a specific example, there are times when you, the reporter, are thinking, well, this is totally safe and benign. And some of us are out here going, hang on a second.
Right.
Why would it be said like that? It's just watching movies over the years that play out like that. Sherlock Holmes. I took a college class on Sherlock Holmes.
No kidding.
Yeah. Had a logic professor. It was within philosophy, these logic classes, and I really liked them. And he was really into Sherlock Holmes. Like, we would read a Sherlock Holmes book every week or something like that. Try to figure out.
All right.
How did he think of this?
I'm sorry. I'm searching for something.
Phil Collins.
No, it wasn't. It was not Phil Collins related.
Sue Studio not drafted this year in the song draft. This year.
No, that's right.
Maybe next time.
It turns out, if that thing that Joe was trying to track down regarding Tampa.
I did find it.
The Bills ended up trading with Tampa.
This was last year.
This was something else, though. It was a rumor about a Khalil Mack trade where a director of player personnel had said, realistically, we're drafting in the top 10. So I wanted to track down which team thought they were going to be bad that year.
I see, right. It didn't have any. By then, the Bills had already made their trade with Tampa.
Right, and I narrowed it down to the Bills, Bengals, Broncos, Giants, Buccaneers, and Lions.
Several of whom are drafting in the top 10. Including the Bills. All right, so Phil Collins news right there. Lionel Richie announced today he is going back on tour this summer. I know you love him. And his local stops are...
Who are you talking to?
Canandaigua. So he'll be out at the...
C-Mac.
Venue, great venue. And about a month before that, in June, Toronto.
Okay.
Lionel Richie.
You going to make a road trip for that?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, but...
Are you sure?
Yes, totally sure. I'm not going to that concert.
Might be your last chance.
It very well might be my last chance. I will say this about Lionel Richie. The Commodores, Sail On, Still, Easy. Those are great songs for me.
Yeah.
Not song draft caliber.
No.
But those are great songs for me.
I like Easy a lot. I think it's I'm Easy. And I also like Brick House a lot.
Brick House?
Brick House.
Is that the Commodores?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a jam.
That's not Lionel Richie.
I mean, he's...
Is it really?
He's in the Commodores. I mean, it might...
That's him?
But maybe he's not singing the lead on that.
I'm going to look that up right now. Okay. Brick House. The first thing that comes up is a restaurant down the street. Brick House song. I'm putting song in capital letters, phone. You silly phone. The Commodores, yep. You got it. I'm just reading the words now.
I'm not familiar enough. Read the words.
He wrote it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Co-wrote it.
All right.
With the other Commodores, I believe.
Or Dolly Parton, maybe.
She wrote everything. It's usually, who wrote that song? It's usually Dolly Parton, Bob Dylan, Kenny Rogers. They pretty much wrote all the songs. Not Barry Manilow. Barry Manilow did not even write his song, I Write the Songs.
What a sham.
Right?
It's embarrassing. Well, I mean, what can you trust?
It's just like that. The world is just like that now.
Earnestly singing on the radio about how he writes the songs that the whole world sings. Ha! Psych.
Not at all.
Nope.
Ironic. We will talk to Rob Ray from New Jersey. Sabres and Devils tonight. That's next on WGR.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.